Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into something pretty provocative, the ultrasonic consciousness hypothesis, the core idea that consciousness isn't just about neurons firing, electrical signals. It might be fundamentally linked to, mechanical vibrations across the whole brain, including ultrasound stuff you can't actually hear.
Right.
And the really radical part is how it proposes to solve the binding problem. How separate feelings like warmth and smell merge into one experience.
Yeah, that's a huge puzzle in neuroscience.
This hypothesis says maybe it's not computation doing the merging. Maybe information unifies physically within that vibrational field.
It's a fascinating mix, isn't it? Biophysics, neuroscience, even philosophy of mind. But okay, first things first. Before we get lost in the philosophy, we need to know, can ultrasound actually do anything to brain cells? Physically speaking. Is that plausible?
That's the key question.
And the science seems to say, well, yes, it's physically possible. We're not talking about heating things up. It's a mechanical effect. These sound waves exert a tiny constant pressure as they pass through tissue. It's called the acoustic radiation force, ARF.
ARF. Okay.
Think of it like a microscopic finger gently pushing and stretching the outer membrane of the neurons.
Okay. I can picture the stretching. But how does stretching a membrane make a neuron, fire? How does that become an electrical signal?
Ah, that's where these special proteins come in. They're called mechanosensitive ion channels. They're embedded right there in the membrane.
Mechanosensitive. So they react to mechanics, to being stretched.
Exactly. They literally open or close channels based on that physical deformation.
Ah.
Directly changes the flow of ions, which is the basis of the electrical signal. We even see proof in simple organisms. Like, take this C. elegans worm. It reacts to ultrasound in a specific way.
Okay.
But if you knock out its main mechanosensitive channel, called MEC4, that behavior completely vanishes.
Wow. Okay. So that's a direct link. Vibration causes channel opening, causes behavior?
Precisely.
Yeah.
It confirms that causal chain.
And this mechanism, this physical interaction, is why transcranial focused ultrasound, TFUS, is such a potentially powerful tool, right?
Yes.
Because sound waves, unlike electrical fields, can get through the skull pretty well. So TFUS can aim ultrasound deep inside, hitting structures like the thalamus.
The thalamus, that central relay station, really crucial for consciousness.
And it can target it with incredible precision, like millimeter accuracy.
Right.
And there have been these studies, maybe preliminary, but still striking, linking TFUS modulation of the thalamus with patients showing improved signs of awareness, people with severe disorders of consciousness.
It's definitely compelling. It suggests we can potentially influence deep brain states using purely mechanical energy.
But there's always a but in science, isn't there?
There usually is. And here it connects to some older research, something called the hypersonic effect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the paradox. The finding that even inaudible high frequencies, like above 20 kilohertz, can cause real physiological changes.
Right. Things like boosting relaxing alpha brain waves, increasing blood flow in the thalamus again. Even though the person swears they didn't hear a thing.
Okay, so the body reacts even if the conscious mind doesn't register the sound.
But that leads us straight into the big problem, the critical scientific challenge here.
Yeah.
The indirect auditory pathway confound.
The confound. Explain that.
Well, think about how TFUS works. You're sending vibrations through the skull.
Right. Bone conduction.
Exactly. Those vibrations inevitably travel through the bone and reach the inner ear, the cochlea. They activate the normal hearing pathway, just not through the air.
Ah. So wait, if the ultrasound is basically making a sound inside your head via bone conduction, then maybe the effects we see, like an animal suddenly moving a limb when the ultrasound hits its motor cortex, maybe that's not direct brain stimulation at all.
That's the concern.
It could just be an involuntary startle reflex, like hearing a sudden loud noise, even if you don't consciously perceive it as noise.
Precisely. It's a startle response triggered via the conventional auditory system. This is the major hurdle for the hypothesis right now.
So the burden of proof is really high. Researchers have to show that these TFUS effects still happen, even if you somehow block that auditory pathway, like in a deafened animal model.
Correct. Without that proof, the whole exciting idea of direct ultrasonic neuromodulation could just be, a very sophisticated way of startling someone.
Okay, that definitely complicates the consciousness hypothesis. But it raises another fascinating question, doesn't it? If our brains are so sensitive to vibrations, even unconscious ones, what does that mean for the sounds we live with every day, especially now in our world of, digitally compressed audio, MP3s, streaming?
That's a really interesting angle. If you look at psychoacoustics research, there's this subtle effect, sometimes called the digital flat effect.
Digital flat effect.
Yeah. Studies suggest that lossy compression, the kind used in MP3s and many streaming services, systematically removes those very subtle, often high-frequency components.
The stuff that makes the sound rich? Maybe. The stuff related to the hypersonic effect?
Potentially.
Yeah.
And removing it seems to have an emotional consequence. It can slightly weaken positive emotional descriptors in music or speech, things like happy or calm.
It makes things sound less happy.
A bit less, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe simultaneously strengthens negative ones like sad or mysterious. It's subtle but measurable.
So we've got this picture. Our bodies react to vibrational complexity, maybe even stuff we don't hear. And our digital tech is actively stripping that complexity away.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that leave us?
Well, that brings us to the final, maybe provative thought for today.
Mm-hmm.
If, and it's still a big if consciousness, or at least aspects of our brain state, are fundamentally tied to these mechanical vibrations, influenced by those mechanosensitive channels, then this massive global shift towards compressed digital audio, which systematically filters out that subtle vibrational information, could it be acting like a low-level chronic environmental stressor?
Wow, like a constant tiny drag on our well-being because the sound isn't complete.
Possibly. It suggests the actual quality of our sonic environment, its vibrational richness, might impact our collective mood and mental state much more deeply than we currently realize. We might be missing something important in the sounds we create and consume.
Something to definitely think about next time you hit play. That's all the time we have for this deep dive.